like you primitive screwheads. Listen up.
Guys, we have a code red. You mean code red the hospital emergency alert, code red the computer worm, or code red the cherry flavored soft drink from makers of Mountain Dew?
One ring to rule them all.
One ring to find them.
Oh, Jesus. One ring to bring them all.
And in the darkness, find them.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
Where's my super suit?
What?
You tell me what I'm doing, woman!
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run? Did you ever see that?
No, it's probably some dumb sports movie anyway.
Sports movie?
Okay, we've got to put a spotlight on the geek stuff, man.
What the fuck are you bitches babbling about?
We need to bring this to the mainstream, to the people.
Wow, this is even better than I imagined.
We have to show the world that it ain't just about comics and toys.
I have to possess this comic.
Hey, I tried to teach you how to handle comics in the sixth grade, but oh no, you wanted to play Little League instead.
Looks like a really rich fourth grader lives here.
Look at this place, man.
Go look, he's got a billion toys.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Isis.
We're not about dressing up as Green Lantern.
How often does one see a beloved fictional character come to life?
Every year at Comic-Con.
And hoping for that one day, that one cracking day, for Cylons to bring us out of possible space-age future shit.
That's exactly what it's about.
Oh, really? Yeah, this shit ain't gonna work.
Oh, man! I'm still geeking out about it!
All right, look. There's only one return, okay? And it ain't of the king, it's of the Jedi.
Looks like we got more Lucas hounds here to mock Roddenberry.
You'll have to excuse him. He's not down with the trilogy.
There's only one trilogy, you fucking morons.
Oh, Star Wars geek.
Oh, I'm the geek? Look at you two whipping out your preciouses.
I'm gonna kick your ass back to the Shire if you don't shut your fucking mouth.
We're the stars of this piece of shit!
All right, guys, you have your mission. Go forth and wreak havoc.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Come on, you fuckers think that just because the guy reads comics he can't start shit? I'll fucking take all you want!
I got a Spider-Man t-shirt.
Hello, sir.
How you doing?
I'd be lovely.
That's awesome.
Although I'm noticing a trend.
What's the trend?
Big Kev is not here again.
That is true. That's true.
This is the trend.
I was wondering what was so cool in here.
That's what it is.
Yep.
He plans on knocking down the studio door at some point before the mics turn off tonight, in theory.
Yeah, so look forward to that special guest appearance from the title of the show.
That's right. But
featuring special guest.
Just because he's not here.
Doesn't mean the show can't go on.
That's right. Me and you, professionals,
yes,
most of the time, at least.
I agree with that.
So the show must go on.
Indeed.
And we are going to call this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stop episode 299, by the way.
Doctor Who?
Exactly.
Yep. On the road to 300.
On the road to 300. Let's not forget Stingers this week and do this.
Geek Stuff, what's in the news?
Well, since we started off with the episode title, we might as well talk about Doctor Who.
Okay.
Peter Capaldi.
Yeah, that guy.
Exactly.
The guy who's in that other show that's British,
right,
also.
Yeah, The Thick of It. And then the movie based off the character from In the Thick of It, In the Loop. Also, he was in a prior episode of Doctor Who.
Someone did some IMDb digging.
So, once I kind of pieced some of it together, I was like, I know this guy. Wait, he was on Doctor Who already.
Doctor Who is like the British Law and Order.
That
actor was on that one time.
Yeah, and now he's the DA. Right,
exactly.
Now he's the doctor. Although, they could do, with some clever writing, they could sort of figure out a way to kind of nudge, nudge, wink, wink to his appearance prior on the show. But I'm not giving him enough credit to do that.
Was his appearance on the show like a major?
It was. So the episode was The Fires of Pompeii, which was a 10th Doctor episode. So it was David Tennant, and the companion at the time was Donna.
Okay.
And it takes place in Pompeii right before the volcano goes off.
Gotcha.
And there's this one particular family that, you know, is the core family that the Doctor is involved with throughout the entire episode. And this is the father figure of the family. It's played by Peter Capaldi. And Doctor Who kind of goes against his better judgment as far as fucking with the space-time continuum at the behest of Donna, and saves this family, kind of kicks them out of or removes them from Pompeii before the volcano goes off and saves them. And thus, you know, I suppose a butterfly effect could occur. And maybe somehow, some clever way, they could bring it back to that. But I'm not holding my breath. I'd actually more prefer that they kind of just sort of make a...
Ignore it.
Well, either that or just kind of tongue-in-cheek reference
fair enough,
to
fair
it.
Enough.
And then just never acknowledge it again and try to ham-handedly make it the Doctor was the Doctor, blah, blah, blah. So significant things about Peter Capaldi.
Yes. He curses a lot.
He does curse an awful lot. And apparently he will not be cursing as much in this show, which really... is a no-brainer, and I wish I could attribute what I'm about to say to someone, but I don't remember the source. But someone I was reading somewhere said, do people actually understand what actors do?
Act?
Right.
Aha.
So just because he cursed a lot on one show does not mean that he has to curse a lot on another show.
Well, here's the thing. So I would agree with that in general, right? Actors aren't going to – like if you look previously who they played,
right.
That's not the same thing.
Correct.
Most of the time.
Most of the time.
And maybe not in British television.
Sometimes people do
get
typecast.
But in American movies and such, sometimes when they cast an actor, they're casting that character.
Vince Vaughn.
That way they don't have to write at all. They could just say, you know who they're going to be anyway.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Vince Vaughn is still the same character from Swingers. Just
yeah,
a
you're
bit
right.
Older
yeah,
in every movie.
Yeah,
he's never actually changed.
That's a good point.
He's gotten married a couple times.
Jason
he went to college
Statham?
A little bit.
Same thing.
Jason Statham
in the movie starring Jason Statham every time.
Exactly.
So it's just a shortcut to get right where you need to go. So I think that's why an American audience is seeing they're going to pick this guy. Oh, God, it's going to be a badass British dude who curses a lot.
Right.
No, it's called acting.
And then exactly. And then, of course, the other big criticism, which I don't know if you were aware of this, Scapegoat, but did
know.
You know that the absolute worst thing that you can be in 2013 is a white male?
No.
It's the worst thing you can be. And if you are given any sort of job, especially in the acting field, well, then clearly no one has given any thought or hindsight into why you've given that job. They've only given it to you because you're a white male.
So what you're saying is they don't really do auditions anymore.
No.
They just put a bunch of white people in a hat and
right.
pull a name at random and say, you happen to be an actor. You're on a show now.
Correct.
All right. So clearly you're talking about blowback from a community saying, oh, they had so many opportunities to cast a non-white male doctor.
Right.
There are rumors about a female doctor,
correct.
About a non-white male. Okay.
Correct. And there's been a lot of blowback. And all of it, in my personal opinion, is nonsense. First of all, let's address the female doctor thing.
Okay.
I just don't think it makes sense. Not at this point. Maybe they can make it make sense, but I don't think it makes sense. I'll tell you why. A couple of different things. Aside from the fact that there's a lot of history behind the character, you could theoretically tweak history.
Like longest running show in TV history,
right.
for the most part.
And Neil Gaiman is actually, in one of the episodes that he wrote, he actually has already given some sort of, he's already kind of given some sort of loophole where the doctor could change gender. Right?
Okay.
Except that the doctor, although he changes body, he does not change memory. Right? His memories are always the same. He remembers prior incarnations of being the doctor, clearly.
Right. Okay.
Right? And the doctor's had significant relationships in his life, including marriage, including a marriage we haven't seen yet in the show. We've met his wife from the future, River Song, which is a pretty significant character, but we've never actually seen the marriage. So unless they're going to somehow now say that he should have been a woman and perhaps that River Song was a lesbian, you see
so
where I'm going?
That's fine.
I guess I'm not saying it's impossible to do. I'm just saying that they have to do a lot of – they got to do a lot of like – it seems like people want it for the sake of change, not for the sake of a good story.
Well, here's the thing.
Or a cohesive story.
So I'm with you. It should always be for the sake of the story and for
right.
the sake – I don't watch enough Doctor Who for – me to have a full-on, you know, grasp of the
right.
of the debate we're having. But I also think Doctor Who, as much as they have to wrestle with a lot of, as much as any show would have to wrestle with a lot of writing in order to make it happen,
yes.
Doctor Who could also just say, no, it's happening, and then just make it work.
Yeah,
because they don't necessarily go deep into weaving stuff into things.
No, but
you know
yes,
what I mean?
Yes and no.
You could just make one cheeky comment about them being gay or about sexuality not mattering to Time Lords or whatever.
I guess, but River... I don't want to give away spoilers, but too bad. If you haven't seen these episodes at this point, I'm spoiling some shit for you. You know, when River finally meets the Doctor in the current Doctor timeline, she says, you know... she says something to the effect of, you know, I know an older version of you. She didn't say, I know an older version of you that happens to also be female. You know what I mean?
So what?
I don't know. To me, look... let me stop what I'm saying and say that I think that the next Doctor, the 13th Doctor, is going to be a woman. And this is why. And this is how I think they can make it work.
Now that they know they're going there, they can lead into it.
Right. Okay. And so there's this kind of character, and people are going to correct me because I know that I don't know all this because I haven't seen the original source material, but I've read about it. So there's a character called the Veilyard, who is kind of like this character who is sort of the dark side of the Doctor after his final regeneration. He goes dark.
Okay.
So the Doctor now is in his final regeneration. They're supposed to have 12, and that's it. So he's technically in the final regeneration. What I think is going to happen is that this character is going to go very dark. It makes sense for an older character. The older actor makes sense. He's kind of jaded. He's seen enough. He's pissed. He's tired, blah, blah, blah. I think that what they could do is they can make some sort of effect of the 13th regeneration where something kind of goes wonky and doesn't quite go right and make it a female. It's a drastic change, and they could justify it pretty easily.
There you go.
As opposed to just arbitrarily ending where Matt Smith left off. And by the way, when the season ended, Matt Smith hadn't declared that he was leaving the show already yet. So that's another thing. I think they needed a little bit of time to write in some sort of transition. And I think this is a good opportunity.
You make a good point.
Let's move on. I don't want to harp on it. Let's talk about some trailers.
Let's do it.
I guess three that I can think of off the top of my head. Let's all go lobby. No, that's what he does.
Yeah,
sorry. He's not here.
You're right.
Save it for when he gets
here. I will.
If he wants to sing about dancing popcorn and hot dogs and hamburgers.
Dancing popcorn is great.
That's his prerogative. All right. Ender's Game.
Wow. Yep.
Eh. I mean, it doesn't look bad.
It looks like it's an adaptation of a book that you may have heard of.
Right.
And there's a kid, and how are we using children to do the terrible things of war, and coming soon.
Right.
Nothing very exciting in that trailer.
I will say that the much like the way the rest of American culture goes, that the hot topic du jour seems to be getting a little cold in this regard, because every single time up until this point, every time a new trailer still interview came out, it was all about the Orson Scott Card hating the gays bit. And I haven't heard one peep of that today. So that must mean that there are more important things going on in the story. And not to say that his opinions aren't terrible and that it's, you know, and that we should condone them. But my point being is that it seems like America has already started to forgive the fact. And maybe we just want to see the movie now.
Forgive or just kind of forget about it?
One or the other.
Yeah.
But either one really isn't good for the cause that the people who are pushing the cause were for. If you forget, that doesn't help the cause. If you forgive, that doesn't help the cause. So
make a point.
Just saying.
That's true.
The Muppets trailer.
Yeah.
Eh.
Yeah.
It's a Muppets trailer.
It's just a teaser.
Yeah.
It's just to be like, hey, it's coming.
I look forward to it. I like the Muppets.
Did you see the previous one? The Jason Segel or whatever?
The previous movie? Yeah. I did.
How was that?
I liked it.
Yeah?
I liked it, yeah. Okay. I mean, I'm hard-pressed to hate Muppets-related things. Now, that's not to say I didn't hate The Muppet Wizard of Oz or Muppet Treasure Island, because those two were horseshite. But I did really like Muppets from Space, which a lot of people did not like.
No, that's got some cult status.
Yeah, well, Pepe alone makes that movie worth its weight in gold, in my personal opinion. So,
true.
But I like the Jason Segel movie, and this is continuing from that. And although he's not as involved, I still like it.
You got Ricky Gervais,
so you know,
right? Tina Fey.
I'll tell you the one thing I didn't like about it.
Yeah.
And one thing that I think this is a problem of modern Muppets versus classic Muppets. Not the show, maybe the movies. The musical number in the trailer.
Was it
Scooter singing with that? I like to move it, move
moves
it.
Moves like Jagger.
Yeah. Oh, Moves Like Jagger. That's it. Right. Yeah. To me, that's a cute kind of relevant now joke, but will not stand the test of time. It's one of the reasons
it already hasn't stood the test of time.
Well, not really.
That song is already old.
But my point, like, if you go back and watch the first Shrek and even the second Shrek, Shrek was all about, like, jokes that were kind of jokes and references that were relevant at that point or just prior to that point.
Yeah.
To me, that's this in a Muppets movie.
Okay.
And I don't think the Muppets do that very often, so I'm a little concerned with that, but otherwise I think the trailer looks fine.
Fair enough.
Thor.
Yes.
Thor looks fucking great.
That was an awesome trailer.
That's what a trailer should be.
I would agree with that. Although I still say this, that the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo U.S. version teaser was one of the best trailers.
Yes.
I've seen. Just awesome.
I will give you that.
Ooh, it's teasing. I don't really know what's happening. Still really want to see it. Look, it has style.
Right.
I'm on point with that. But it's a Marvel movie, so we all know where this is going.
Absolutely.
So still not tired of Loki, as you heard us
Tom
talk about.
No, Tom Hiddleston should be in every Marvel movie or get his own movie. I'm convinced that they're missing the boat on that one.
Well, it's too late now, we hope. I don't want to see a separate Loki movie.
I don't know.
That would pretty much just be Avengers. Oh, wait.
No, because it would be from the perspective of like a, you know, like a tragic villain or like a,
no, that's,
you know,
like
a conflicted villain.
That's like a spinoff animated something.
I don't know.
Comic book. I don't know. But yeah, no, the trailer looks good.
I'm excited because I'm
Natalie Portman
convinced.
Looks like she's not going to die in the first 15 minutes.
No,
it
but
may take about 45.
I think she's definitely going to die.
Oh, we all
and
know
I'm
she's...
excited for that.
Yeah, she's going to die.
Because Natalie Portman is abysmal.
What?
She's terrible.
She's not terrible.
She's terrible.
In Thor or in general?
In general, she's
you don't,
terrible.
Why do you not like her? You just have problems with her for after the prequel trilogy.
No, actually, the prequel trilogy, while terrible, she wasn't the major problem with.
No,
she
not
was,
at all.
She was a part of the problem,
no,
but she was not the major
Christensen
problem.
Is
yeah, exactly. I just think she's kind of. I didn't like Black Swan. I know.
What?
I know.
What?
I'm crazy.
You're a little bit crazy.
For shame.
Yes.
I did not like Black Swan. And I didn't like her in Black Swan. She's very, I don't know. She's very, to me.
Wow.
There's not a lot
did
of
Did you like her
there.
In the original Thor, though?
No. I didn't hate her in the original Thor. She was just kind of
there.
She was just kind of there.
Do you like the other girl, her friend, the spunky one?
She's another one that's just kind of spunky. You know what I mean? Like, she kind of plays the
not
spunky
great
characters,
friend. Yeah.
But she's, everything she's in, she doesn't she play the spunky friend?
Yeah, she
or
does.
Some there, some
yeah,
variation
she,
thereof?
She does.
Brings us back to that previous conversation we had. Clearly, she is typecast.
Yeah.
What I'm really looking forward to, aside from Thor and Loki, because that looks like it's going to be really good.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I'm actually really looking forward to Christopher Eccleston.
Yes, as
the villain. And I will say, if you haven't seen the trailer yet, spoiler alert. Can you have a spoiler alert for a trailer?
I don't think so.
I don't know. I liked the bit of humor. I liked a little bit of humor in the last second of the trailer.
Oh,
I like that they're grounding
it.
And they're not letting it get too serious.
I wouldn't say grounding.
Well, they're not letting it get too
serious. I
wouldn't
say destroying a golem-like creature is grounding.
Well, but you know, they're not letting it get too serious.
I appreciate that. But no, it looks good. I'm excited to see that, and I'm excited to see what the teaser is at the end of it, to be honest with you.
At the end of the movie?
Yeah.
It's got to be Guardians.
The stinger. I think we're all really excited about stingers now.
It's got to be Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
It's got to be. That's the next big movie. Even though they're saying that it won't, it's got to be Guardians of the Galaxy because, in my opinion, because we heard, I don't remember the actor's name, but someone who is in Guardians of the Galaxy, someone who is in Thor let loose that he filmed a scene with Benicio del Toro, who was the big bad in Guardians of the Galaxy. So I'm guessing if it's not the after credit stinger, although I think that it's probably going to be the after-credit singer, that'll be your tie-in to Guardians.
There you go.
To introduce the Collector, which is the character Benicio del Toro is playing.
That makes sense.
And I'm excited for Guardians of the Galaxy, although I'm still shocked that we haven't heard more news. But D23 is like 2 days away, 3 days away.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's this weekend.
So we'll find out some stuff.
I think we're going to find out a bunch of Marvel-related stuff this weekend.
Good.
And a bunch of Star Wars-related stuff.
That's always good. Good for the show, especially.
Yeah. I think movie-related stuff, product-related stuff, and then park-related stuff as well. I think Disney's going to make some big announcements regarding
Star Wars
both Marvel
and
Star Wars-related stuff to the park, which I think will be interesting.
It's going
to
be good times.
It'll be good times, indeed.
Speaking of large movies.
Yes.
And Marvel.
Yes.
I saw Wolverine.
You did?
I did.
And did you like it?
I did actually like it.
Okay, now.
You've heard it here first. I liked that movie.
I have yet to see it.
Yeah.
Although I really want to.
Yeah.
The only criticism I've heard, which is a non-specific criticism, so maybe you can elaborate if you share this opinion.
Sure.
Is that it shits the bed in the third act. That leading up to the third act, it's really good, and then it just kind of falls apart.
It's very closely based on the source material, although purists are going to say, well, what about this thing? But, I mean, for the most part, it's pretty much based on the source material. There's a couple of minor plotty things that
right.
It's a comic book movie, I'll let go. Like, for example, spoilers, everybody. We're reviewing a movie now that's been out, so there are spoilers.
Right.
Anyway, Silver Samurai, it turns out to be, you know, the big adamantium suit that the main character of the movie you think is dead, but you all kind of know he's alive all along,
right,
is in this suit.
Oh, he is in the suit.
Yeah. Why is he in that suit? Why did he build himself a giant sword right. thing for no fucking reason if he thought he would magically get healing abilities? Who knows? Don't know. Doesn't really make any sense. And the other thing where, you know, they have this amazing scene where Wolverine, Logan, whatever, is coming into the big tower place that they got to get to, and there's, you know, like a ninjas and all kinds of people trying to take him down, and then he gets in the building, and then all security vanishes when the second person shows up.
Oh.
There's just no security.
Well, you know.
That's like a minor comic book kind of plot hole situation.
Lunch break.
It could have been the lunch
break. That's what happens.
It could have been the lunch break.
They're probably
you
union.
You need more minions. And, they are unions. Yeah, that's what I really liked about Austin Powers when they made fun of, like, the minions. And then the other thing that Big Kev actually pointed out, so they really want you to know this takes place after X3.
Right.
Because Jean is in it a lot.
Right.
And the other thing
you
they want you to
bad.
The other thing they want you to know, it takes place after X3.
Right.
And the other thing they want you to know is please forget about Origins. Even though it happened, we really don't want to harp on that.
Okay.
That's pretty much what you find out during the movie. But one of the big plot holes, again, Big Kev pointed out, is he lost his memories in the X-Men trilogy.
Specifically in Wolverine Origins.
Right.
Yeah, but he gets them back at the end, doesn't
well,
he?
Well, I thought he got them back, but he's saying that he only got them back from Weapon X Project.
I thought he got them back.
I thought he got all of them back. But if he didn't get them all back...
Okay, when?
I don't recall, than I recall him getting them back.
Exactly.
I couldn't specifically
me
tell
too.
You when.
But if he doesn't get them all back, I think what we're seeing is the fact that it's easily explainable, but they just don't explain it. Why does he remember everything, including World War II?
You're on already. I don't even have to pause it this week. I'm not risking any mic failures again this week.
Was there a mic failure?
Yeah, there was some sort of weird track issue last week. It corrected itself. All right, the other thing...
That's how we deal with tech support. It fixed itself,
it
I guess.
Itself. It's kind of like the tech group from the IT crowd, I think, is really what's happening when this show has technical problems.
That's exactly what it is.
Me.
You probably have to spin that mic about a quarter or so.
No.
The buttons should be in front of your face.
The buttons are in front of my face.
Okay.
Me.
But yeah, definitely Wolverine. Go check it out. Definitely check it out. And the coolest part is the gotta be mid-credit...
Stinger
right. sequence thing. Jesus, I want to see
preview.
That movie.
Yeah.
Although I still don't understand why Patrick Stewart's in it. That doesn't make sense.
Doesn't
but I'll let it go.
What? Why doesn't it make sense?
Because his body doesn't exist at the end of the third movie.
Oh, okay. Yes, it does.
Except that he's able to transform his
into a different person.
Into a different person. But Macon, the magic of mutants.
But I'm agreeing with you.
Yes.
I understand. Like, they can explain that. I just want them to. I don't want them to make me assume that I would understand.
Right.
I want them to fucking do it. As a writer,
did you see his
go
body
goddamn
buried?
Do it.
I'm assuming...
We know he's alive. It just doesn't make sense that it looks exactly like
right.
him.
I'm assuming we're going to get an explanation in Days of Future Past.
Did you see his body buried?
I understand that he's not dead. We all know that. You're saying they bring back his body and make it younger?
Was it younger?
Yeah.
I didn't think it was younger.
Yeah, it was.
I don't think that at all.
I think we'll get all of our explanations in Days of Future Past.
Yeah, Trask Industries.
Let's talk about Days of Future Past.
Let's do it.
I saw that photo... of Bryan Singer standing next to the Sentinel.
Uh-huh. Yep.
I feel much better about it now.
Yeah, they're pretty cool.
Except for the giant, please shoot me in the fan in my chest hole, which I'm not quite sure of about design-wise.
Yeah.
Really, I mean, that's the flaw in the Death Star. Has Trask Industries not
exactly
done anything?
That's exactly what I was going to say. I was like, it's just a, you know, it's an exhaust port.
Aside from
can't
that.
Can't possibly harm the device by dropping anything in that hole.
Nope.
Aside from that, at least as far as scope and scale of the robot is concerned, I'm much more comfortable
after
seeing that image.
Really
much
cool.
more comfortable. But I don't think there's anything else Days of Future Past related. But let's talk about Marvel in general. Kevin Feige, in an interview said that they have movies now planned.
2021.
Uh-huh. He said in that interview as well that things they had planned in 2006 are now coming into fruition in 2000 through 2015. And he's confident that what they have planned right now. We'll see its course. Of course, he didn't say what those movies are. But,
wow.
But look, there's a lot of movies that we've heard hintings at. That could easily take us through 2021. That's not very hard. New movies include Doctor Strange and Black Panther, if they still decide to go down that route.
Right. Uh-huh.
Assuming Guardians is successful, there's a future in that franchise. Of course,
Ant-Man.
Avengers 3, Ant-Man, all would fall into Phase 3 as well.
That's already been confirmed, though.
Yeah, exactly. But, yeah. But
Phase 3 is the turnover phase.
Right.
Where they're turning things over to whoever's going to carry on.
Right.
Afterwards, that's what I think is going to happen.
So that's not that far off. I don't think 2021, although it's impressive, I don't think it's that far off when you think about all the things that we know already. And what we will hopefully, again, bringing us back a couple minutes in conversation, we'll hopefully hear in the next couple of days at D23.
Yeah.
Statistically, one of us in this room will be dead in 2021.
Why do you say that?
Because that's a statistic.
I don't know if that's an accurate statistic.
That I've created.
I don't think you can create statistics.
I certainly can create statistics.
I am God.
All right. I actually did forget something that I wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
So let's do that real quick.
Because you're drinking on the job?
It is not because I'm drinking on the job. I've barely mostly finished that beer. Bryan Singer.
I barely mostly?
Yes.
See?
Bryan Singer also leaked a little bit of information through the tweets. Bryan Singer, very active on the Twitter, unlike Scapegoat and Big Kev. But
ooh. What are you talking about?
Really? When I start directing,
at BK Geek Stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of people doing that.
When was the last time that Twitter account had anything? Months ago, I'm saying. Months.
I have to get on my people about that.
So Bryan Singer made some sort of announcement that in filming the scenes with Quicksilver, 3,600 frames per second is how he's doing it in order to achieve the speed.
That's nuts.
What also came out today is that Joss Whedon is doing 3,601 frames per second.
Ooh!
No.
Nice
not really.
Burn, OG.
I don't care. That's great. I'm glad that he's using technology available to him to hopefully get a good speed effect for the character of Quicksilver. I think also he's confirmed that Scarlet Witch will not be in Days of Future Past.
He did say that.
So yeah. Scarlet Witch will only be in Avengers 2.
Ah.
So there you go.
I have some Twitter-related movie news.
Sure.
In a tweet from one Sylvester Stallone.
Oh, I was getting to that.
Bruce Willis has been booted out of the next Expendables movie, and Harrison Ford has been added to the cast.
Yeah, I believe the exact quote was, greedy and lazy,
sure
formula for a career failure.
That's the second tweet.
Right. The first tweet was, Willis out, Harrison Ford in, great news, been waiting on this for years.
Yeah.
So that
is really interesting news. And what I like about Sly Stallone is that he's a no bullshit kind of guy on Twitter. Like, if you fuck with Stallone, he's like, go fuck yourself, you're out of the movie, and that's the end of it.
I will agree that that is a ballsy move to call Bruce Willis greedy and lazy.
It's accurate.
Would you call him lazy? I don't know that I would call him lazy.
I have a little insight into that, and I would say the answer would be yes.
But lazy implies that he doesn't work, and he's always got something going on.
No. Just because he's always showing up in movies,
yes,
doesn't mean that's his work ethic.
Well, perhaps he has a shitty work ethic.
It's what's happening. Remember, Val Kilmer did a whole bunch of movies all together.
Yeah.
And what were the rumors about him? Asshole.
Right. Well.
So, like, it's not the quantity. It's the quality of the work that he's doing within as from the perspective of this. So from the perspective of the producers. So my opinion here is that probably what happened is Bruce gave them an unrealistic price tag and an unrealistic work schedule for whatever, you know, time he was going to be in this Expendables movie. So giving him an unreasonable price tag and a ridiculous work schedule, that was Sly's conclusion about his actions, and that's what happened. In researching that little piece that I just gave you, I found another piece of news that I think is interesting.
Okay.
Another Rocky movie.
Yes, I heard about this.
Called Creed.
Yes, this was announced a week or two ago.
Yeah.
And
it actually is. It has Rocky Balboa training the grandson
of Apollo
Creed, which I think, I mean, that's as far as Rocky movies go, it'll be a Rocky movie.
I got to say that as far as Rocky movies go, the last Rocky movie, Rocky Balboa, I thought was great.
Yeah, it was really good.
I thought it was actually one of the better ones in the series.
And considering
Certainly better than five.
I was going to say the one before it was a disaster.
Yeah.
So I like
the direction that they took the character in Rocky Balboa. And I see that his role in Creed could very easily be a natural progression of that direction.
Right.
And I'm all for it. I'm all for it.
Totally. And he's still taking ideas or pitching out ideas about a Rambo sort of conclusion movie.
Right. Now that's where I might draw the line.
Oh, God.
Because I don't know that we need another Rambo movie.
But it would be the end. He's wanted to kill John Rambo for 20 years.
I know.
So, or 15 years, whatever it's been. I mean, since like literally a couple years after the last Rambo.
The zombies in the Expendables movie?
Yuck. I think also what he has in the works is Tango and Cash 2.
Wow.
And also Demolition Man, too. He was just waiting for, what's his name, to get out of jail.
Who wouldn't see that? Wesley Snipes.
Oh, I would go.
Wesley Snipes will be in the next Expendables movie.
Yes,
according to rumor.
So there you go. Demolition Man 2.
There you go.
All I hope is that...
Who wouldn't go see it? I would go see Demolition Man 2. Even if it sucked, I'd see it in a second.
All I hope is that it's Demolition Man 2, Seashells. That's it. And the entire movie could be explaining the seashells, because I just want to know. That's it. I would be happy. And a couple more commercial jingles.
Uh-huh.
And,
wow.
And I'd be really happy. Good things from the garden. Garden in the valley. So anyway.
Wow.
Did you not like Demolition Man?
No, I did.
It's terrible, but lovely all at the same time.
So good.
It is. It's absolutely genius. Well, maybe not genius.
Genius is a strong word.
Remember the
word.
Toys? They were fucking terrible.
They were fucking terrible.
It starts with the word demolition.
Well, yes.
Like,
yes. All right. I think Battlefront
is
the only other thing that I have, really.
Fight Club 2.
Oh, we missed comic. Fight Club 2 last week.
Yeah, so there's a Fight Club sequel, because that's what everyone wants.
I'm only okay with this.
Because it's a graphic novel.
Not because it's a graphic novel, because
Chuck's writing it.
Because Chuck is writing it.
Yeah, Chuck Palahniuk.
If this was like he was consulting on it,
no,
or someone
that.
Else was writing it, I would have zero interest.
But he's actually writing it.
Right. And you know, if you know him as from Fight Club, I recommend reading some of his other books.
Oh, he's great stuff.
Yeah, I mean,
except Lullaby. Don't read that.
I did
everything else really good.
I did not read Lullaby.
Yeah.
I can't, what was the one with the sex addiction?
Choke
was really good. I
see the movie.
I did not see the movie.
Movie was really good.
It's well done as well. Yeah.
Yeah,
really good stuff. Anyway, so it'll be
interesting.
It's going to be a graphic novel, comic book miniseries thing. We don't really know 100% about it, but he says he's doing it, and it takes place 10 years later. And
to be quite honest with you, he doesn't know 100% about it either.
Right.
All he's announced that he's doing it.
They're doing it. He's got some ideas, but he's working on a couple other things first.
Right. And it's years away. Like
2015, I think.
Yeah, it's down the pipe. So it's something we will talk about more, I'm
right.
sure.
But it's interesting.
Sure, absolutely.
Interesting thing.
And don't rule it out, because sometimes these things, most times these things are hit or miss, but sometimes they hit the spot. Like, for example, there was a prequel book to Seven.
Yeah, that was really good.
Really?
Amazing.
Yep.
Yeah.
That was really good.
Amazing.
Yeah,
I need
really,
to
really good.
Find that.
I'll loan it to you.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, sure you will.
After I read Saga.
As soon as I find it.
Again, his writing style, and I should say, I could see his writing style lending itself to a graphic novel format.
Really well.
And so all he needs to do now is just find the right artist.
It's got to be good artist.
To capture it. And I think you could potentially have something really,
they've announced
really good.
The artist.
Oh, did they announce the artist?
I think they did, yeah.
I didn't think they... Well, then...
Cool.
There you go. I'll have to look up who it is.
I remember who it was.
All right. So, Battlefront.
Yeah.
Actually, real quick aside. Did Nintendo make some sort of big announcement as well? Or do they have an announcement
the
coming
out? The question is, does
actually,
anyone care?
Nintendo did make a big announcement. It was, hey, we're still here.
All right. So we'll leave that aside. Actually, that might be... We have a new game stuff tonight. So it's very... And I haven't had a chance to listen to it. Normally, I listen to it prior. Unfortunately, tonight, I didn't have time. So Coke Logic may address that. But let's talk about Battlefront. Really quick. 2015.
Yay.
We'll be getting Battlefront.
But we don't know anything about 1313.
So, no. So,
still upset about that.
So 1313. Oh,
we
thank
should
you.
Say we should say it's Star Wars Battlefront.
Right, I'm sorry. Star Wars
any
Battlefront.
Any number of names games
Star
named
Wars
Battlefront.
Battlefront. So it's exciting. Of course, we knew in some capacity that Battlefront was coming anyway. I think
from
that
the,
had already
teaser
been
E3.
Right. So it's nice to know that 2015, it seems like 2015 is a really big year. That's like the kickoff for the Star Wars franchise.
Do you know
the rebirth
do you
of
know
the Star Wars
statistically,
franchise?
Statistically, one of us in this room will be around for 2015.
Nice. Nice.
Wow.
That's
a longer study than we initially thought.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Something I failed to mention before, but this kind of reminded me, and this is in the news segment of the show. ABC has also announced that they are in talks with Disney and Lucas to do a TV show
for Star
show.
Wars. Yeah,
this comes to surprise to no one. It should be a surprise to nobody.
No, they've been kicking it around
for
years.
For many years.
Yeah.
Now
they were
maybe this isn't the same one. Perhaps
it's irrelevant what the content and what the outline of what they're going to do is irrelevant. The only thing that has ever been kicked around is that they would like to do a TV show.
Right.
The reason it hasn't been done up to now primarily is that they just don't have the money to produce that kind of TV show. However, Deep Pockets Disney,
right,
who now owns the franchise, certainly does.
And I think the other thing was about they didn't think the technology was ready yet.
Right.
I remember they had all kinds of stuff and they kept talking about it. They're like, "Listen, we can do it. Even if we had the budget, we'd still need more money. We're waiting for tech to catch up." I think you're seeing that happen. If certain YouTube videos and YouTube shorts can hit, you know, what used to be Star Wars only a couple of years ago quality, you're going to be able to make a TV show with Disney's money that'll catch that.
So let me throw this out there. 1313.
Is it back to a TV show now?
No, it's not. In no capacity have I heard that. But do you think it would work? Maybe that's the direct. Maybe that's the saving grace for 1313.
It's too niche.
You think it's too niche?
Yeah. No way.
See, I think it's too niche.
No way.
Because I think it could play. I think it plays on like a sci-fi crime drama, sort of.
Well,
underbelly type show. I don't think it's too niche.
Boba Fett is
not niche.
Boba Fett is not the star of 1313.
He could be.
But that said, you also have a Boba Fett movie coming, so I can't imagine they're going to do
is
a
that
feature.
Actually confirmed now?
Boba Fett and young Han Solo are the strongest contenders that haven't been officially confirmed. So it probably will be Boba Fett first, and probably the second standalone will be young, probably very young Han Solo.
Maybe
I just met Chewbacca.
Solo. Young Han Solo Chronicles.
No. That would be really funny.
See?
But no. And they get what's his name to play him? Patrick Flannery.
Sean Patrick Flannery. He's still around doing something once in a while, right?
Yeah, he turns up in those...
whenever they decide to do another Boondock Saints movie,
yeah.
True.
I think they have to go more direct. They have to go more, I think... Honestly, they have to go more family-oriented. So you don't get 1313 on Channel 7. You get 1313 on HBO.
No way.
You don't think
not
so?
Going
you know
on
what?
HBO.
I'll tell you. See, I think...
No,
what's
it's
Disney's,
not
going to...
No,
Disney's,
hold on, hold on, hold on.
What's Disney's cable network?
Disney Channel.
No, they have...
EX3 or
No.
They don't own one of the...
They own something.
What do they own?
I don't know. I don't think
Disney
they do.
Channel, D23, or what's that?
Disney XD.
That's animated.
I thought they had something else.
Nope.
I thought there was something else in the ABC
Scapegoat,
family.
I wasn't trying to say that Disney was going to put it on HBO. I'm saying that type of show...
Oh, absolutely.
...does not go on Channel 7. Or on the Disney Channel.
I don't know. I could potentially see it.
I'm thinking something more along the lines of the Ewok Adventures.
See, but I don't know that they'll ever go down.
The live action
ones. I don't know that they'll ever go down that road.
I'm not saying it will
be
the Ewoks.
Right, but...
It could be the adventures of Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah.
Maybe not that. Maybe not that bad. But
I see... In my brain, I see value in getting away from Jedi and Sith. For a TV show.
I don't disagree with
A&E.
That.
They own A&E.
They own A&E.
A&E, that doesn't count.
So it could be on A&E.
You know what? We never thought AMC counted until a handful of years
also,
ago.
Also, A&E had a good show on it that got canceled because...
no one watched it?
No, because what's his name passed away. What was it called?
I don't know the
show.
Is that
an FBI agent?
No,
you know what I'm talking about?
No.
I'll look
Dennis
it up.
Farina.
I'll come back to you.
But anyway.
Farina, he died.
So Disney, you know, is going to do a Star Wars TV show.
Of some sort.
There's no shock there.
No, and I don't foresee it in the next 5 years.
There's no shock there. And anybody that's linking, by the way, I've read a couple people saying, well, if S.H.I.E.L.D. fails, because apparently people are already thinking that S.H.I.E.L.D. is going to fail. If S.H.I.E.L.D. fails, Disney will never do it. No, I don't agree with that statement either. I think it's two totally different balls of wax.
But that said, everything we've seen about S.H.I.E.L.D. is really clean cut. So no 1313 story would ever be like S.H.I.E.L.D.
A&E does Bates Motel.
Oh, okay. There you go.
So they do have a possibility for...
Yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah, so they have a possibility.
So they could go a little harder edge on A&E. Yeah. Okay.
Although I believe the official announcement was they referenced ABC directly.
Well, that's...
And not a subsidiary?
That's a family show.
But we'll see.
But S.H.I.E.L.D.'s on there, right?
S.H.I.E.L.D. is on ABC.
S.H.I.E.L.D. is more homogenized than the Avengers movie.
So.
We'll see.
Okay.
Either way, I think that's it. I don't have any other news.
The Beast. It was called The Beast is the name of the show.
Oh, I do remember
Patrick
that.
Patrick Swayze.
And it was actually really well done. And then
he died.
And then he had cancer, and you could see him dying as
on
the
show. Yeah, it was really sad.
It was really sad.
I think that's it.
All right, OG, well, this has been Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 299. Doctor Who?
On the road to 300.
Good one. On the road to 300. And speaking of Doctor Who, next week in celebration of episode 300, Little Fifi's Who Stuff.
No.
No, yeah.
It may happen at some point.
No, it's done.
It'll be coming to you soon.
No, I have it.
Eventually.
It's done.
There's a lot of things that you have that are done that in theory
I'll also have. I'll email it to you. Don't worry about it.
There you go.
Okay. Well, you gonna tweet view it?
Ahoy, hoy, and welcome to Game Stuff. I'm your host, Coke Logic. After a long stretch of nothing much at all, video games are starting to be released again. The first notable game is Pikmin 3 for the Nintendo Wii U, the third installment to the GameCube series, where you order little creatures to move shit around. Is it fun? Is it better than the first two? Is it worth buying? I think the better question is, do you own a Nintendo Wii U? It's rare, but if you do own Nintendo's failing console, what else are you going to play on it? It's a Nintendo game. That's why you bought a Wii U, right? Well, here's your chance. Go play it. But if you don't own a Wii U, don't worry yourself. Pikmin 3 is not a reason to buy a $350 console. Also out this week is Dragon's Crown, exclusive to PS3 and PS Vita. It's a 2D side-scrolling hack and slash that borrows heavily from Golden Axe and Knights of the Round. It has 4-player online and local co-op, with lots of loot for collecting to wield a more powerful weapon. But the problem here is not the offensively rendered characters that most of these fucking sissy video game sites like to bring up, but more that it's just not a deep game. There's a lot of revisiting and grinding in the 9 limited locations. It's hard to see what's going on the screen during combat, and in my humble opinion, this is a $15 game that they decided to publish and charge $50 for. There's nothing terrible about Dragon's Crown, which is why you should go play it, but there's nothing amazing either, except its very unique art style. Shadowrun Returns is out now on Steam. If you can justify the $25 price tag for the 3 short campaigns, it's a fun and faithful addition to the Shadowrun franchise and definitely should be checked out. John Carmack of id Software, the genius behind Doom, Quake, and Rage, has been instrumental in the development of the virtual reality headset, the Oculus Rift. Now Carmack is leaving id, not really, to help develop the Oculus Rift, which he's already been doing. So I guess the headline here should read, John Carmack continues. Although Carmack will assume a smaller role at id while being named Chief Technical Officer of the Oculus Rift. This move could not be better for the entire world, since the Oculus Rift is going to revolutionize gaming, and John Carmack is the guy who's going to make it even better. The next EverQuest has been announced, and it looks really nice. Graphically, it looks like a modern game and not an MMO game. If you know what I'm saying. It's much too early to talk about, but you sure can't say it ain't beautiful. The Summer of Arcade has begun for XBLA. The first game released is Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons, a puzzle game where you control two characters simultaneously but independently with the left and right analog stick. While it's a fun puzzle game with a light art style, that of Team Ico, working the left and right side of the controller separately will cross the wires in your brain and get you a little frustrated. Definitely interesting enough to try this unfortunately short demo. Also in the coming weeks of the Summer Arcade, Charlie Murder, a super cool looking 2D side-scrolling beat-em-up. Flashback, a remake of the old Super Nintendo game. And finally, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows, which I'm going to talk about more in the coming weeks, because the new TMNT looks great. And finally, it's been announced that Luigi will be in the new Super Smash Bros. Game. As if they would leave Luigi out of the game. In this, the Year of Luigi. This is Coke Logic signing off for GameStop.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 299, Doctor Who. Of course, if you'd like to talk about anything from the first segment of the show, or maybe that we're about to talk about, or perhaps to enter our 300 GVM line contest that we'll have whenever episode 300 actually comes out, that number you can call is...
425-920-6050.
Excellent. Please leave that voicemail, and you may hear yourself on a future episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
I know I missed a little bit of the beginning.
Yeah.
What contest?
We talked about that last week.
Yeah. Oh, we did?
Yeah, we're going to take...
Did I miss it, that part?
No, you did not. You were absolutely here for it, because it was during the wrap-up last week.
The one that we're not going to do after 300?
That's right. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Of course, don't forget one of our lovely sponsors to this program, Suburban Vinyl. SuburbanVinyl.com.
Featuring Blinky.
New Jersey. Featuring Blinky as a store manager. Suburban Vinyl for all of your vinyl designer toy and art needs, I would say. Design, you know, street art. And not art supplies.
Yeah. You want to be careful there.
Don't go buy a brush there. But buy some awesome prints, some great artwork in general, some original
T-shirts.
T-shirts. Some
I got
great
awesome t-shirts.
Of course, if you shop online at SuburbanVinyl.com, there is a coupon code.
What is it?
Big Kev.
Oh.
We'll get you,
and no one is surprised.
That's right. We'll get you 10% off of your entire purchase.
Wow.
In fact, just go to any website and put in Big Kev as a coupon code, and it works.
Fingers crossed. So, yes, please check out Suburban Vinyl. Of course, also, don't forget that the Matt A. show, the stuff is still on display through the end of August.
Amazing.
So go check that out if you are local to New Jersey. It is worth your time and effort.
OG and I went. It was amazing.
It was amazing. And with that, I think we could probably move on with the show itself.
Wow.
Right on.
What's the discount you get at Suburban Vinyl if you go in and mention the program while you're at the counter?
Nothing.
Hmm.
There is no discount.
I see. It seemed like there should be a discount.
Do you not get the pause to insert the stinger? Is that eluding you at this particular moment in time?
Is it
the heat?
I just want...
Is it because you were late and you forget how the show works?
I just want to talk more about the fabulous sponsor.
The sponsor.
I'm sorry, OG.
Oh, he's trying to make up from that time he totally forgot that.
That's what it was. The makeup.
I'm sorry, did we hit the 8-second mark in the promotion of the sponsor
so we
have to cut it off?
I think we sufficiently covered all the awesomeness that is the coupon code, the store location.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Just saying.
All right.
Geek Stuff, comics, books, and graphic novels.
Comic books this week.
See, I paused.
Thank you. I appreciate that. There are a handful, three that I would like to bring up.
I think I only got two.
Yeah, I know. And
good
one of them
week,
is
good
a
week
trade,
for me.
Actually.
Yeah.
I would have four, but I'm saving one for you.
Well, Detective 23.
That's right. That's
of course,
my four.
That came out this week, and that continues the great story that's going on in that book.
Right.
So you'll definitely want to check that out.
Detective has been a really solid book. I like it better than for a while. I didn't. If you remember, I almost gave up on Detective.
Right.
And it took a nice little. A nice turn.
This is slightly off topic, I understand. Did we talk about the new 52 figures coming out, the owl, the Court of the Owls guy?
Yes, we did.
We did. Okay.
We did talk about
it. I saw a picture of it again today. I was like, oh my God.
But since you brought up new 52, before I go into the handful of books that I want to mention, I understand Scapegoat. Did you watch Flashpoint Paradox?
I did not. No, that is a two of you thing.
I did not see it.
No, just me.
Just me. Keeping up with the times over here. Keeping up with the times. I liked it a lot, honestly. I know it's very, very sad. I never read the book that it's based on.
That's okay.
No, some people really liked it.
Not a lot of people read it.
Flash fans really liked it.
Well, it's something another opportunity. With Flash.
Yeah, I mean, this is not the first time that a Flash screw up with speed has fucked up the timeline. So,
no, but it is really well done. It's nice to hear Batman sound like Batman again.
Right,
the first thing that I'll say, Conroy back on that.
Back on that.
And I don't. It was really well done. The biggest thing to me is though, anytime they show alternate timelines,
right,
anything like that, I always feel when they do it right, there's depth there, and I want to see more of it.
Sure.
And, you know, this is an hour and a half animated movie, so they didn't.
Right.
So it's really bloody and really like, wow, this is dark, and they keep getting it, and they keep going dark with it, which is nice to know that hey, we have an audience that isn't just 14-year-old kids. But every character kind of warrants its own little one shot or
right.
its own little, you know, 10, 15 minute little, hopefully Blu-ray extra something, but there isn't one. So when you're looking at all the characters, when you're looking at totally spoiler, emaciated Superman and everything,
right.
really well done, like really like creepy. I really enjoyed it. I mean, I like most of these DC animated movies. This one definitely adds to that lineup. I would definitely check it out. And I know after that, they're going straight to New 52.
Right.
So.
With the Justice League Origins.
Exactly.
Just the Orange movie. So, yeah, who knows? Maybe on the DVD we'll get some,
I hope so.
Stingers. Or, we've gotten that kind of stuff, like one-shots and solo.
Yeah, they've done, like, mini-stories or whatever.
Yeah, there was a Catwoman yep. one. There was a Green Arrow one.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys are checking out the DC Nation on, I think it's Cartoon Network, where they're showing Beware the Batman and Teen Titans.
Yeah.
They show little DC shorts. Between
yes.
the cartoons, some of them have been really, really interesting.
I've heard that. I've heard
I've been catching
check them out.
I've been catching them because I've been watching Beware the Batman, which I think, like I said, I've said before, I think is a pretty decent shot
right.
of a cartoon. But those kind of shorts, like if they continue doing those kind of shorts and collected them at some point, that would be a pretty nice collection, I'd say.
But yeah, definitely check out Flashpoint Paradox.
Nice,
really well done.
When does that come out officially, Scapegoat?
It's out already.
It's out. It
was like July 28th or 29th.
I just assumed that.
Well, I did have a pre-release copy.
Oh, you did?
You did.
Oh.
You did.
Okay.
But it was really well done. I was impressed.
Now, off mic.
A little stuff that's kind of like, hey, this is a cameo for the fans. This character doesn't really belong here.
Right.
But otherwise, I did enjoy it. Yeah.
Now, off mic, you had asked me how this kind of ties into the relaunch.
Right.
Of New 52.
Yeah, so what exactly is
so,
going on there?
So at the end of Flashpoint Paradox, clearly everything's a bit
muddled. Yeah. So basically, there's a crazy timeline.
Right.
Bruce Wayne dies, the father survives, the wife turns into the Joker. It's all kind of like a mess, whatever. Anyway, he eventually fixes it by
Correct.
Doing one specific action, which my guess is, even though everything's fixed, there's enough slight differences where it warrants it being a new main universe, and that's what New 52 is.
Except that it's not entirely a new main universe.
Okay.
It's really weird. Certain characters in the New 52 universe got reboots, like full-on reboots. And certain characters kind of got a truncated prehistory.
A pass.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, for example, a lot of the bad shit that happened to Batman.
Yep.
Still happened to Batman, just in a really short amount of time
right.
that they sort of loosely tease in the New 52 universe.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And like Jason Todd is a really good example. Jason Todd was, in fact, killed by the Joker and is now back as the Red Hood, but with no explanation in terms of the New 52 universe, only that it happened prior. So he didn't get a real reboot, because if he had gotten a real reboot, he'd be Robin. Or not even.
He could be Robin.
He could be Robin. He could be anything.
Probably wouldn't be
right.
if they went that far.
Because
back.
Dick Grayson would be Robin
right.
and not Nightwing.
Right.
See what I'm saying?
Got it.
So it was really weird. Like the Superman, Batman, Green Lantern got like sort of reboots. And then other characters got like full on
reboots. So it was really just an excuse to change stuff they wanted to change and keep everything else the same.
It was an excuse to introduce characters to new audiences as a means of trying to bring in a new readership, so they said.
That is partially correct.
So there you go.
The other part is that I explained to Scapegoat was that they did this to make enough changes in the characters so people would stop suing them for ownership rights.
Right. That was a major change in the that was a major impetus behind the Superman portion of the relaunch, which
of course
is a huge cornerstone in the universe. So there you go. Flashpoint Paradox in a bubble. comic books, though. Green Arrow 23 came out this week. It's still been a really solid book since Jeff Lemire came on. No, he has not brought back the guns, thank God. Jeff Lemire has a new book out this week called Trillium, also. And I believe it's a DC book. And I think, and I could be wrong, that it's a Vertigo book.
Don't know.
A new Vertigo book. So I definitely will be checking that out.
Cool.
Superior Spider-Man is out, which is getting really bad really fast,
imagine
in my
that.
Personal opinion. And Superior Carnage number 2 is out. Now, I read the first issue only because I happen to really like Carnage. I've always been a Carnage fan, you know.
How are you now?
I don't mind the story. I just don't get why they're calling it Superior Carnage.
Because it's another way to make
it's
number
not like,
one.
It's not like Eddie Brock is in Cletus Cassidy's body playing Carnage. That would be Superior Carnage. No, this is Cletus Cassidy as Carnage. Cletus Cassidy has always been Carnage. Ipso facto, why is he so
because
much superior?
It's better.
No.
It's a new reason to do
better.
A number one issue.
Yes. That's the only reason. It's a new reason to bring Carnage back.
Yep.
Which is fine. I like the character of Carnage. Carnage is to, you know, Venom as Darth Maul is to Vader.
Hey.
So
hey,
it's a good kind of visceral, violent character.
Hey, somebody bought our Superior Spider-Man book. Really? Let's roll out every character we can with
superior
in front of their name.
So,
but it doesn't make any sense. No one cares.
No one cares.
And I think that's it comic book wise for me. But you have a trade.
Yeah. It's the Lone Wolf and Cub Omnibus Volume 2.
Right. Now, we talked about previously Volume 1
yep.
and then that Lone Wolf.
Future.
2000
yeah.
AD.
Which
was
great.
Right.
I reread. I hadn't read it in years. It was really, really good.
So if you're a Lone Wolf and Cub fan, this is a no-brainer.
No-brainer.
Volume 2, especially if you already have Volume 1.
Oh, yeah.
And if you haven't picked up Volume 1, pick up Volume 1.
Yeah. I mean, this is a kind of wandering samurai, yet with a slightly funny premise.
I would also say that if you are a fan of Big Kev's Geek Stuff, but maybe you don't actually read the comics, like that section, this section of the show is not generally for you.
Yeah.
I would recommend Lone Wolf and Cub to you.
Yeah.
This is one of those books that I think transcends.
Yeah, totally.
Interest in comics in general.
Yeah.
And is worthwhile reading just as a literary piece. Mm-hmm. It's really well done.
And it's not. Some people who I talk to about this outside of the show are like, but it's manga.
No, not
and,
yeah, it is,
not
but not
really.
Really.
I mean, because you have characters of Asian descent does not mean that it's instantly a manga.
Do you read it left to right?
Well, it, no. I think it was originally NetHours and then
yeah,
transcribed it. So
that's
technically
fine.
It is manga.
That's
but,
fine.
But it's not giggling schoolgirls with big eyes and tentacle porn.
And
it's
weird,
not that.
And weird
so
titles.
So if you were
like,
looking for that, you're going to have to look somewhere
yeah,
else.
And with weird titles like Prince of Tennis.
Right. Right.
And,
exactly.
You know, the other weird titles that they come up with.
So, yes. So check out Lone Wolf and Cub if you can. It is a good read no matter what your interest in comic books are. And I think that's it for comic books.
Peachy Death Killers. We should just create a random manga title generator.
just
put it on the site.
Put it out there.
Wow.
That would be funny.
You know, I finally watched Hunger Games, the first one.
Yeah.
Really?
I did. I
that's
hadn't
what
seen
we're
it
ending
before.
On in comic
books. Did it remind you of anything?
Okay.
Well, I already knew going into it that it was Battle Royale. And I actually enjoyed the first movie so much that I've decided to read the second book. So
wow.
So yeah.
You're going to read a book?
I read books often, sir. Often.
No, ones without pictures?
Yes.
Wow.
I know, crazy. But anyway.
Battle Royale with cheese.
Well, with cheese.
Geek stuff. Product reviews.
Product.
Yes.
Stuff.
Well, actually, we just want to, I want to mention, and we don't have any real specific product.
Sure.
I wanted to mention something that I had seen over the weekend.
Okay.
And that was the brand new Imaginext stuff that has come out for the DC universe.
I was going to say, this is specifically the DC universe,
yeah,
right?
I mean all of it. But, I mean, specifically, they've just put out brand new stuff for the DC universe. Imaginext is, I think it's
Mattel.
Play School.
Yes, but it's Mattel.
Yes. I think Play School is the overarch on that. They're like little tiny action figures. Everybody has seen them. They're intended for like 3 to 5 year olds.
Right.
they're really awesome, really stylized, and they are incredible for children of that age to kind of get them into the whole action figure
and
scene.
And aside from the DC license,
yeah,
we've actually talked about the other licenses on the show.
Oh, yeah.
The pirate stuff, the planes and boats. And
that's all their own design stuff. But they also have, like, I think they have, like, SpongeBob.
Yeah.
And they have, I can't remember. There was another one that just leapt through my head, but I don't remember at the moment. But, oh, they had, like, Toy Story.
Oh, did they really?
Yeah, I think so. I think they had a little Toy Story one. The point of this is that these are incredible toys, and they are worth noting on this program because they have taken some really obscure characters and have now started to release them in the Imaginex line.
That's awesome.
Like, pretty sure I saw Red Tornado.
Yes.
Imaginex action figure. I saw Gorilla Grodd.
Nice.
As an action figure. And of course, for our own OG, the Green Arrow Imaginex.
Very excited.
Was issued. They have a whole series of DC, like we said. They also have, I think it's now a branded Gotham City line.
Yes.
Where they have vehicles. And I mean, I think they've just put out the third sort of iteration of the Batcave.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, now there's a lower Batcave. There's a really giant playset Batcave. I think there was another one that was kind of medium.
You
know, now there's a lower.
Put them together?
Exactly. Beautiful
awesome
stuff.
Batcave.
They had a Joker's Lair. They have all kinds of vehicles.
Joker's Funhouse is a cute place.
Yeah, it is. And they all have, like, little interactive parts to them and everything. Perfect for children of that age. But I have to say, they have really gone out of their way to do some obscure stuff. They did Green Lantern stuff when the Green Lantern movie came out.
Right.
They did Io as a playset. And they had, like, obscure Green Lantern, from our perspective, obscure Green Lantern characters.
Right.
As little Imaginex figures. I just think
Kilowog was in there, wasn't he? Yeah.
Yeah. I just think it's incredible the level to which they have been successful doing this. And now I'm going to flip it. Hasbro also has an imprint.
Right.
But it's different names for different things. In Star Wars, I think it's Galactic.
Yeah.
I don't think it's Galactic Heroes. It's like
it used to be Galactic
Jedi Force.
Heroes. It's, yeah. Or
it's Jedi Force. Same kind of idea, same kind of real simple figures and vehicles for little kids. The line's been out for, I think, almost 3 years, and they've put out maybe 10 products.
The little Ada is cute.
I know. While the Imaginex line has gotten larger,
sure,
and they've done more characters, the Hasbro version, Star Wars, and now the Marvel imprint as well, has kind of stuck to the same kind of core group of characters.
Same with the Transformers stuff, too.
Uh-huh.
The Rescue Bots or whatever.
Even the Transformers stuff, though, has kind of taken a back seat. And now we have more Hulk, you know, iterations of the Hulk,
right.
iterations of Wolverine, iterations of Iron Man. They're now doing Cap with the Black Pants.
I wonder if any of that will change under the Disney banner.
They're already under the Disney banner.
Yeah, with Star Wars, though.
Oh, I don't
Disney
know.
Disney is not afraid to put out as much shit as possible.
Oh, no, they're not.
When this line first hit, when we first talked about the line, particularly for Star Wars,
right?
First of all, we said, wow, they're really copying Imaginex.
Right.
What we said was if they handled this right, this could be a huge success.
Sure.
And what did they do? They put out two vehicles that year and, what, three two-packs of figures.
Yeah.
And that's it. And by and large, the year after, they put out a handful of things. It wasn't even that many. Now, the one that's just come out that I think everybody is excited about is Jango Fett and the Slave One.
Right.
Which I think is an exciting set. And then last year, or late last year, or early this year, they put out, like, Darth Vader's TIE Fighter. And they had the Millennium Falcon. And, you know, like, it's been piece of this, piece of this, piece of this. Millennium Falcon had Han and Chewie came with it, I think.
Right.
Now they've released Han and Chewie in a two-pack. Why? There's 8 billion Star Wars characters. Why haven't they released other characters? I'm just saying. I'm just saying. You know, we talk a lot about collector toys on this program, and this is one of those moments where we're not necessarily talking about a collector's line of toys. We're just talking about cool toys, like Twilight Turtle.
Right,
I mean, just the most famous example. When a toy is cool, you should stand up and take notice. You might be a parent someday. You might be an aunt or an uncle someday. You might want to buy a toy for a kid someday. Or you know what? You might just look at them and think, if I can collect Dunnies,
right?
These fucking things are just as cool.
Yeah, sure. If you collect Lego minifigures,
yeah,
you can collect Imagine X. It's the same idea.
Absolutely.
Sure.
And the level of detail and the level of design work that has gone into Imagine X, and not just DC, but all that, even their stuff that they've created in-house, amazing. Amazing. If I had these toys when I was a kid, that's what every I constantly start conversations with people in toy aisles, Toys R Us, Target, and so forth. And every person says the same thing. Where the fuck were these when I was a kid?
You had Tinker Toys.
We had nothing.
Lincoln Logs.
Yeah. Or we had like Mego figures. Yeah. And they broke every 3 seconds and, you know, you lost their clothes.
I just puked in my mouth a little.
A little bit.
Not back to that rant.
Did you get that Mego green area?
Got the repro.
Yeah. Repopped. So this is one of those occasions where I just want to point out the fact that, you know, you don't need to stick to the 3 or 4 aisles in the toy store that we talk about the most.
Sure.
You should really walk around and see what's going on. Go see what's going on with Lego. Lego is amazing right now. Amazing.
You kidding me? It's like fun thing for me to do now on a Saturday when my kid is acting up.
Yeah.
Let's go to Toys R Us.
That's it.
He's 2. Doesn't matter. Let's go to Toys R Us. And my kid, in the last 2 weeks, all he wants to watch right now is Justice League Unlimited, Spider-Man, Justice League Unlimited? Was that what it was called?
The older one.
Yeah, the one that was out a couple years back.
Yeah, yeah.
Spider-Man, and Ultimate Spider-Man, and Rescue Bots. That's it. That's all he wants to watch now. I'm okay with all of these programs.
Yeah. But, no more
Dinosaurs on a Train?
Dinosaurs on a Train. Dinosaur Train is still up there. It's a top contender.
Is that like a Sam Jackson movie? Get these motherfucking dinosaurs off my motherfucking train. Take a walk around the Toys R Us.
Sure.
Take a walk around. You know,
telling people to stalk people in parking lots.
That's what I'm saying. It's one or two aisles over sometimes. Lego might be one direction, Imagine X another direction. Just take a look at the amazing stuff that's going on with toys. Because, you know, the popular theory by and large is that these kind of tactile toys are going away. And I just think you can't say things are going away like that when you have amazing toys in the store.
I got to say, just kind of on a point on that and then tying it to the fact that I have my kid now. As a kid, I was always a fan of trains. And my grandfather and my father both had really awesome train sets as a kid. And I had some, too, as well. And my son really likes trains.
Were you a hoe?
And
a hoe. H-O?
Oh, yeah. No. What scale is H-O?
H-O's like...
The little ones, yeah?
Yeah. Not really little.
Not the really tiny.
That's N scale.
Right, right.
And then H-O, and then like...
Yeah. No, my dad was... My dad and my grandfather were full Lionel.
Oh, okay.
The big Lionel.
Big ones.
Yeah, the big ones. But my son really likes Thomas, right? So we've been buying them like Thomas the Trains and like tracks and play sets. I got to tell you, they're fucking great.
Uh-huh.
I'm having fun setting up his – I'm reliving my train childhood.
I mean, don't lick them.
No. Well, the new ones.
There's no lead on there, right?
No lead on the new ones. Yeah. But
the new ones.
But they're nice. But to your point,
yeah.
Like there are some really great things out there outside of the scope of what is general talk on this chatter.
Yeah, and the reason I bring it up again is because the popular theory is that the toy industry, the tactile, except for really little babies, is kind of going away and it's being replaced by digital things and video games and sort of that kind of electronic digital content that kids can just tune in and tune out. Man, and the sort of tactile toy industry is kind of taking a backseat and a way backseat, according to some people. So I just think if you're at all interested in the toy industry, just do a few extra aisles the next time you're on the hunt or you just happen to be, you know, on a Saturday afternoon, Toys R Us, let's stop in there and see what they were talking about on Big Kez Geek Stuff about how cool toys are.
And, you know, on that note, gentlemen, going back to collectibles a little bit, since I happen to hear the wrap-up music playing in the background.
Oh, there it is.
We should say that while when you're done buying these awesome, cool, tactile toys,
yeah.
But perhaps you want statues and action figures
and
things of the like, you should go over to Superpower Collectibles.
Yes.
Superpowercollectibles.com. for all
your geeky goodness.
Of your geeky goodness. Toys, action figures, comic books, statues.
Coupon code.
Coupon code. What is the coupon code?
What is the coupon code for everything?
Big Kev.
There it is.
Works everywhere. Get you.
And that will get you
flowers.com.
$10. I dare you to put it in zero. $10 off any $50 order.
Correct.
Almost free 20%. Shipping on most items for orders over $99.
Correct.
And orders over $1,000.
That's right.
Win a date with Scapegoat.
Nice.
Yes, indeed.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, superpowercollectibles.com. Actually, a couple fans of the show this week ordered a bunch of stuff and was sending me pictures. So,
nice.
Thank you to the fans, of course, for supporting the sponsors.
Yep.
And while we're mentioning
sponsors. Look, you help yourself.
That's right.
You help the show out.
Sure.
You help the sponsor
sure.
out.
Sure.
You get some great stuff you're going to buy anyway.
Everybody wins.
So why not save some money?
That's what I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying. What were you going to say about sponsors?
No, I was going to say, of course, a sponsor to the show as well is our own sponsor through the Amazon sponsor.
Yes.
And, of course, we appreciate all of you that continue to click on that link and mm-hmm. shop through that link. And, of course, if you don't do that, we encourage you to do that. It does help the show. And as we edge our way towards the end of the summer.
Uh-oh. We know what the end of the summer brings.
And as we get towards the Begathon.
Big Kev Begathon.
And as we hope to upgrade our equipment yet again.
Yes.
All of that helps. So uh-huh. So we encourage you to use that Amazon link as well, please. I think that's it. So, of course, don't forget, you can check us out online each and every week over at BigKevsGeekStuff.com.
Nice.
And, of course, our YouTube channel, BK Geekstuff.
Indeed.
Facebook.com, BK Geekstuff. I want to get to 750 likes by New York Comic Con on Facebook.
Wow.
I think that we can do this. It's just under 200 more likes. Now, I know there are well over 200 of you that listen to the show. That means some of you haven't liked us yet on Facebook.
Do you know?
And I encourage you to do that.
If Scapegoat
yes.
just had a Facebook,
right,
we would have one less like to get.
That's true.
I wouldn't like it.
I don't blame him.
Wow.
No.
Hurtful.
But I also need 100 followers.
So there you go.
And I will tweet more. I'm getting there,
listen,
guys.
This doesn't work that you promise people stuff and then maybe they'll follow you. To get the followers,
you want people to follow you, except you ain't leaving no breadcrumbs.
Well, the problem is, if you're not, if no one's following you, what's the point of shouting in a vacuum?
Because I promise you that I will retweet your tweets to all of my followers.
OG
has encourage them.
OG has 6,000 followers.
Okay. I wish I had 6,000. Not that many. But of course, BigKevsGeekStuff.com, of course, where you can find everything.
Yeah.
The GVM line, which you mentioned earlier,
which is 425.
Oh,
boo.
I got it. It's 425-920-6050. Which you should leave us a message.
That's right.
Ask us a question.
Correct.
Comment on some stuff.
Sure.
Have some good ones.
All of those things.
Get the best one.
That's right.
Then you know what you get.
What?
You tell me.
A prize, hopefully next week.
$10 off any $50. I'm confused.
Whenever we decide to do the 300th episode.
Hold on. Wouldn't that theoretically be next week?
Well, theoretically.
The space-time continuum could change.
All the stuff is ready to go.
That's what we're saying.
Okay.
Actually, could potentially be 299.1, followed by 299.2.
God, are we really going that way?
Yep.
We'll see.
Yep.
We'll see. But I think that's it. I think that's it for this week.
I want to say just a few things before we sign off, and that is we might as well start saying it now. We will be attending New York Comic Con this year.
We will.
We will have artists and other dignitaries at the table.
In theory.
We will have some exclusives
we will.
To share with you.
We've begun teasing those already.
Yes. And there was something else. No, that's it.
That's it.
Well, and we will be giving away something humongous at the show as well.
Nice.
I think. I hope.
And everybody watch Breaking Bad.
All right, I'll catch up on the first 4 or 5 seasons first.
No big deal.
And then,
you've never seen it either?
I've never seen it either. No, I've never seen it.
I'm going to sit down and work my way through it, I think.
Great stuff.
There you go.
Of course, I also have made numerous promises to watch Battlestar Galactica.
Right. So
this
there
summer.
You go.
So I got a month.
Plenty
and with that, OG, I will end this episode by saying goodnight, X-Men Origins Wolverine and X3. Wherever you are.
And on that note, we cue the music.